Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. This is study number 35 in our verse by verse study through the book of Genesis. And today we come to Genesis chapter 37, verse 1. We skip chapter 36 because it is a list of names that deals with the family of Esau. And we will not take the time to read all that. But Father, we ask that you would add your blessing to the word that we're about to read. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis 37, verse 1. Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. Now, I doubt that Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob ever really felt at home in the land of Canaan. They were so different from the other people who lived there. But God told them to live there, so they did. God's will and good feelings do not always go together. 2. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now, Joseph was the youngest of Jacob's sons, who was old enough to work anyway. He was only 17. Joseph was dedicated to God and to his father and to what was right. And that is why when his brothers did evil, he reported them. Verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. Actually, what it means is that Jacob gave Joseph a coat with long sleeves. That doesn't mean much to us today, but it was pretty fancy back in those days. 4. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. When they saw how their father loved Joseph, they hated Joseph. You know, instead of stirring up hate, it should have caused them to examine their own lives to see what was keeping their father from showing them favor. Verse 5. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. As we will see, this dream made Joseph look important. Now, I don't know why he told them this dream, unless it was an attempt to win their approval. Maybe he thought, well, if I tell them this dream, they will see that God thinks I'm okay and they won't hate me so much. I don't know. But if that's the case, it backfired because they hated him even more. 6. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brothers said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. The brothers got the drift of the dream. The message was, Joseph will rule over us. They didn't like him before, and they hate him even worse now. If Joseph's intent was to get his brothers to like him, it did not work. 9. Then he dreamed still another dream, and told it to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. Joseph was morally superior to his brothers, but he sure wasn't street smart. He was not wise in the ways of this world. The first dream angered his brother, so what does he do? He tells them the second dream. 10. So he told it to his father and his brothers. And his father rebuked him. and said to him, What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? This dream was from God. The 11 stars pointed to his brothers, and the sun and the moon pointed to his parents. And it came to pass, they did bow before Joseph. But right now, this dream has everyone angry. Verse 11, And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. As I said, those dreams were from God. They were the word of God. Joseph's brothers hated the message so much that they didn't even consider that it might be from God, or if they did, it didn't matter. But at least his father, who had respect for God in the word, kept the matter in mind. 12. Then his brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem, which was about 50 miles away. 13. And Israel said to Joseph, Are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them. So he said to him, Here I am. Joseph was there for his father. He was always an obedient, respectful son. No wonder his father favored him. Verse 14. Then he said to him, Please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks, and bring back word to me. So he sent him out of the valley of Hebron, and he went to Shechem. It wasn't that long ago when these boys slaughtered all the men of Shechem. Remember that? So I believe Jacob is afraid that the other Canaanites might try to get them back. He's concerned about his sons. 15. Now a certain man found Joseph, and there he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What are you seeking? Well, you can tell when someone is looking for something. They kind of wander around looking in every direction, right? That's what Joseph was doing. So this stranger asked Joseph what he's looking for. 16. So he said, I'm seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flocks. Where are they? And how far are they away? And how do I get there? That was Joseph's question. 17. And the man said, They have departed from here, for I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. So, in addition to the 50 miles that Joseph has already traveled, he goes another 20 miles to Dothan. Verse 18. Now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Any sin is bad. If you hit your thumb with a hammer and you say something you shouldn't, that is sin. But this kind of premeditated sin the brothers are planning is much worse in God's eyes. 19. Then they said to one another, Look, this dreamer is coming. Boy, those dreams of Joseph just ate at his brothers. Verse 20. Come therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. They plan the sin, and then they plan the cover-up as well. If planning a lie to cover their action, if that does not raise a red flag in their minds that it's wrong, then I don't know what will. Fact is, they know. They just don't care. 21. But Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, Let's not kill him. Reuben was concerned because as the oldest and as the firstborn, he was responsible for his brothers. And he didn't want to answer to his father for Joseph's disappearance or death. He knew he was accountable. 22. And Reuben said to them, Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring them back to his father. So Reuben did not want to kill Joseph, but he did not want to upset his sinful brothers either. As a result, he tries straddling the moral fence. But when right and wrong are crystal clear, any compromise is sin. The Bible says, Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. 23. So it came to pass, when Joseph had come to his brothers, that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. That coat represented everything they hated about Joseph. It represented their father's favor. They could not wait to rip it off of him, so they did. 24. Then they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. They ripped that coat off Joseph to get it out of their sight. Then they threw Joseph into a pit to get him out of their sight. Verse 25. And they sat down to eat a meal. Unbelievable. They sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing spices, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brothers, "Listen, he is our brother. He is our flesh. Let's take the moral high ground," he says. You know, "let's not kill him. No, let's not do that. Let's sell him as a slave. Besides, we're not going to gain anything if we kill him. We will sell him. That way we'll get rid of him, make a few bucks in the process." Seemed like the perfect plan to these brothers. 28. Then Midianite traders passed by. So the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. Then Reuben returned to the pit, and indeed Joseph was not in the pit, and he tore his clothes. Tearing your clothes was a sign of mourning and grief. 30. And he returned to his brothers and said, "The lad is no more, and I, where shall I go?" Reuben is not concerned about Joseph. He is concerned about Reuben. He's already in trouble with his dad because he horsed around with his father's concubine, and now this. His dad's favorite son is gone, and on Reuben's watch, too. 31. So they took Joseph's tunic, killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the tunic in the blood. One thing that we have all inherited from our sinful father Adam is the desire to hide our sin instead of confessing it. And that is what this animal blood will do for these brothers, they hope. 32. Then they sent the tunic of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "We have found this. Do you know whether it is your son's tunic or not?" It seems as if getting rid of Joseph wasn't good enough. They had to also hurt their father in the process even more. I mean, they have done the cruelest thing possible to their father, getting rid of Joseph, and now they reveal it to him in a very, very hurtful way. That coat, which was such a personal thing between Joseph and his father, is handed to Jacob, torn and covered with blood. 33. And he recognized it and said, "It is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces." Well, if you are a parent, then you can understand the horrible pain Jacob is feeling right now. 34. Then Jacob tore his clothes, put on sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his son many days. Sackcloth was a rough, uncomfortable fabric, and like torn clothes, wearing it was a sign of grief. 35. And all the sons, and all his sons, and all his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, "For I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning." Thus his father wept for him. His sons attempting to comfort him is about the most hypocritical thing I've ever heard of. If they want to comfort him, then they should tell him the truth. They should tell him that his son is alive and serving as somebody's slave. 36. Now the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, the officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. Neither his father or Joseph would ever have thought that Joseph would end up a slave in a foreign country. which just goes to show that we do not know what trials lay ahead of us. Very important for us to stay close to God now. Stay close to Him so that when the unexpected happens, we can find strength in Him as Joseph will. Until next time, Mike Murat here. So long, everyone.